You're listening to the good.
Don't call me Paino.
The bad.
Absolute.
And the rugby.
Folded like a deck chair.
With Paino, Lord, and the Hask. I don't know what that means.
Hello, everybody, and a very warm welcome to this week's edition of The Good, The Bad and The Rugby in partnership with our good friends at City Index, the leading provider of spread betting, CFD and FX trading. We are, would you believe it, still on tour. We're currently in Swansea, in Ospreys territory, in Wales. And when you throw in the Lions, that can mean that there is only one man to interview in this part of the world, a man who's been on our interview bucket list for a number of years. It is the one, the only, Alan Wynne-Jones. Enjoy a full and very varied conversation with the most capped player in international rugby of all time. It's an absolute peach. Well, if the mountain won't come to Mohammed, the three Mohammeds have come to the Man Mountain. We're in Wales country, which means we are
in Swansea.
Yeah.
In from with Alan from Wales.
I prefer Alan of Wales because it's a bit more like Owen of Glendower.
Yes. If you just rename it
Glendour, sorry. A good attempt though.
Not really.
No, okay. How are you?
Yeah, good. Had a few runs now with the Ospreys. We've got one left and hopefully have a look at the summer. But good and enjoying time with the family.
Normally at this stage of the season, players begin to look quite hangdog. But actually, you're looking well.
Yeah.
The colour in the chops.
Yeah. I said earlier, and it's the Welsh sun, but probably not for the right reasons. Obviously, had a bit of a layoff over Christmas.
With a few, tactical, yeah.
Unfortunately, not as well. But with a few others, my arm fell off again, didn't it? So I had to get it glued back on, and now I'm just enjoying being back out there. To be honest,
yeah. You mentioned the arm, etc. Is it all right?
Yeah, it's the perks of the job, isn't it?
Yeah.
But obviously, it was a lot said and mooted about it. But eventually, once it came out the second time, I had to go get it done. So,
and what did they do?
If you want the full story, I actually went out in 17, but it went capsular, so it's like into the armpit, and then against Japan it went out, and then it went out again against New Zealand. So I had a couple of ops.
Sounds like tins on this tour. Yeah.
So I just went in and had a couple of ops to shore it up. To probably should have been done a while ago, but between 17 and 21 is 4 years, so you think you've dodged a bullet, but obviously not.
We were talking in the car actually. I'm right in thinking, for most part of your career, you've been pretty bulletproof, haven't you?
I don't know about that. I've heard,
don't talk yourself up too much, but read between the lines,
no,
yes.
I have been fortunate. I like to think you make your own luck as well. Live the professional thing. That was cliched. You wanted me to check a few wins.
First media one from the hand.
But I have been lucky as well. I'm not going to deny that. And there's, I look around the room sometimes in some squads and teams, and there's guys that are far worse, injuries and come back, and it gets a bit tiresome when people tell you what you should and shouldn't be doing and where you should be, but ultimately you head down and get on with it.
I mean, obviously your flexibility game's good because you can do the splits
it's important to have a party trick, isn't it?
Is that your party trick? Look, you're looking very uncomfortable now.
I can go behind the sofa and wouldn't know whether I'm doing it or not.
Just flicking through the media handbook in his head.
Yeah, he's panicking.
The funny thing is, I actually, when you're at the back of a ruck ready to do a box kick, it comes in quite handy for that sometimes.
Yeah.
But it's just if the counter ruck comes on, you're probably going to be in a box.
Yeah.
I just wonder about that. You said about the professionalism, because obviously whenever anyone talks about you, I know you would never say it yourself, but obviously the plaudits and the kind of success you've had. But one of the things that I was always very aware of from very early on in my career, because obviously I was going to sign for the Ospreys. I don't know if you ever know that.
Were you, or were you just pushing your contract?
No.
Come on. I was.
And one of the attractions
was
actually
loved you, Dad.
Yeah.
Put it this way. Did you have a Welsh dictionary on your dashboard like boys do for France?
Yeah, I did. Well, they showed me to the best part in Swansea. They were like, this is amazing. I was like, so this is the, this is the best part. They're like, yeah. And I went, no, but this really is the best part. One of the reasons that I wanted to go there was actually to work with yourself. And we've never had this conversation really. But one of the things they said about it was the professionalism in terms of you doing your extras and stuff. And I don't think it's normally kind of talked about. You've been pretty much on it for your entire kind of career, haven't you, in terms of that professionalism and leaving no stone unturned?
Yeah, I think it's funny when you're young, you know, head down, you know, always wanted to be in the basic side of things, first one to the next rail or whatever. And that fitted in really well with Gats when he first came in, because that was his mantra. But I like to think I had a bit of that when I was, you know, with Swansea down the road in the Prem. And it sort of carried it on. I think as you go on, then you can invest in yourself a bit more. You know, and I still tell guys that now, like you see young guys who are like, oh, I've got, you know, in the injury, invest in something to make you play for longer, because, you know, one match for you with a national team will probably, you know, sort out for the majority of your rehab stuff to give you another 2 or 3 years. And, you know, it's like that sort of mentality. You see, you know, NFL athletes doing it, obviously on a much bigger scale, but investing in yourself, you know, is really important for me, because essentially you realize you're a subcontractor, you know, because ultimately your business and you're employed by someone else to play. Obviously, I haven't gone too far. I've, you know, been employed by the Ospreys and the Union, but I've always had that like self-investment. I think it's really important.
Was there any sniffs to look elsewhere? Because I think it's a phenomenal feat to have stayed here when that, you know, and ply your trade in the same place and generally seem to love it.
Yeah, I think it's funny. Staying in one place is a good thing and a bad thing. I think particularly here, it's a small fishbowl. I did meet with some French coaches, English coach. We talked about it earlier. I won't say him on camera just to save face.
It's being written already.
But
Wales Online, we're talking about you. Yeah.
But I always was like, make it really difficult for me to stay rather than easy to go. In fairness, they did that. And I always had visions of coming through that the Ospreys would get the players back that we had when I was coming through, the likes of Philo Tiatia, Marty Holler, Justin Marshall, you know, all the New Zealand legends we had,
yeah.
Tommy Bowe, you know, and the other like Northern Hemisphere internationals we had. And I was like, well, I did really well, not necessarily because of the coaching, but because the players, the coaches brought in. And I always say that it's like, to make good players, it's the players you play with rather than the coaches a lot of the time, because when you're in the, you know, the tough side of the game, not even playing, it's like those are the players that will give you the advice and you learn off them, the extras and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, I'm still living that dream.
I feel what extras you learned off Marshy, because it probably involved night outs.
No.
me and Hamburg too.
I always used to watch the scrap for the mirror between him and Filsy as well. But it was also like not the preservation of, I'm going to do it this way as well, the self-confidence and all those things. I know you jest about it and say, oh, whatever. But they were assured, they were confident, they were performers. And when you those sort of people come into your environment, you're like, oh, okay, I can lean on that, I can learn off that. And, you know, that's what I did, I like to think.
I mean, I genuinely wouldn't have had the career I had if I hadn't worked with, like, Lawrence, Joe Worsley, Simon Shaw, Josh Lucy, Fraser Waters, Vols, all those kind of guys, and going and seeing, like, looking behind the curtain, go, well, why are they so good? What makes it happen? It's kind of, you know, massively invaluable to be able to do that. I think you're exactly right. Like, and it's quite attractive to want to stay because of that.
And the funny thing is, I think for where my junction was, I'm a product of the system, because obviously I was at Swansea, but then I went regional. So we had a lot of like homegrown internationals that actually got funneled from like 10 or 12 clubs into four. So it almost got like strengthened for a lot of us. I know there's, you know, we talked about it earlier about like the following and how difficult it is for a lot of people because they feel disenfranchised because it's, you know, regional, and people still do, even those in 19 years down the road. But as a player, it's like, actually, you know, it probably brings you on more because there's less dilution of the quality of player that's around you.
There was one thing I was going to actually ask, I interviewed Dan Bigger the other day at Northampton, and it was really interesting because there was two kind of topics that came up with. Firstly, he was obviously in Wales and was kind of in the fishbowl you talk about, and it has its benefits, you know, because, you know, unlike kind of the UK, unlike England, Wales, the number one sport is rugby, I'd say. Everyone absolutely loves it.
Is that true?
I think it's funny. It probably used to be. I think there's a lot of rivalry with the rugby and football. Yeah. I'd like to think it is. But, you know, some of the stuff the football guys have done has been pretty unbelievable, you know, going against the odds and what they've done in the Euros and that sort of stuff. Yeah. And I think, you know, without being, you know, political, I think it's good for the country to have, you know, every sport doing well, irrelevant of what it is. But, yeah.
I spoke to him and he said, obviously, moving to Northampton, he felt that he wasn't in that fishbowl bowl, and actually he wasn't on social media, so he didn't kind of have the intensity. But you're kind of so front and center with everything that is good about kind of Wales. Staying is great for all those reasons, but sometimes it must be quite hard because of the intensity, and you can't escape it. Whereas he's kind of escaped it and actually found that he's flourished because of it. But for you, you're so front and center.
Yeah, but then, you know, I'm comfortable keeping the arm out at times, and like sometimes the most difficult thing to say is no to certain people for certain things.
That's why I was so surprised you said yes to this.
You've seen us all flapping around backstage.
I had said no a couple of times for that, but no, it's just... I think as well, it's different times as well. When you're a bit younger, you're like, whoa, I can't do that. I've got like training, I can't do this. And I was like that for a long time as well. And that isn't healthy either. It's like the whole non-alcohol thing. I don't think for a lot of people that's healthy, because when you do, then you go overboard. And like all those extra things outside your actual performance, if you can get balanced, then that's good. And I think I've got better as I've got older, but I've always been comfortable in going like, no, sorry, I can't do that. It's hard at times, but... you know, you've got to be able to preserve yourself in that manner, I think.
Why have you said yes to this?
Why? Because I always...
He's like Mustafa. He said no twice. He can't say no three times.
No, I owe this man a solid, because he came to the testimony, and you did it as well, didn't you? But I think...
That was a great night, that.
I don't know. You didn't get paid, but I don't know.
I just did it for the love.
Oh, I can't remember. Well, I did. You were your favourite as well.
Yeah. I didn't even get the invite.
He's going to go back to the big book of receipts and go through it. Alex Payne.
No, the game's a game, but when I owe a favour, I owe a favour. So.
I didn't know I was cashing this in for this, because I wouldn't have fucking done. I really don't care about this pod. I would have cashed in for something better than this. But anyway, fine.
Can I ask you about your relationship with the media? Is that... Because... there's quite a mythical presence about you, I think, within the media. A lot of players... absolutely love it, go hunting it, we'll court it, and yet that's never been part of your game interest.
But I think it's two-pronged. I had a, you know, not a bad experience, but early on when I tripped Dylan Hartley after that game, you know, I had an interesting interview after that, and it was like flipping heck. I think it was 4 years into my career, and it was like someone was real pressing on a question. I was like, well, no, I just made a mistake. Like, I wasn't, you know, it was like, well, what's the issue going on? And, you know, is there split in the camp now because you cost the game and all this? And it was like a lot more, it's in the book actually, but it's a lot
available
more.
Out now.
Amazon. No, it's been out wages. It's probably on bargain actually.
Yeah.
But, and I was just like, whoa, you know, and it was a shot across the bow for me in the fact of, okay, I get it now, it's us and them sort of thing.
Really?
Which isn't healthy, and I know that. But also, moreover than that, it's like, well, my focus is the rugby. You know, and I'll do what I have to do, and I'm comfortable and talking about what I need to talk about. But you can get sidetracked in certain things, and you know, certain times when you lose, you know, I've been over emotive at times, and I know all that. You know, lack of control, but that's me. Yeah. You know, and I'm not uncomfortable being me.
How has the media game changed, if at all? I mean, because you've been around since almost time began. I mean, you know, has your relationship changed at all? Would you do
is
it
that
again?
A compliment?
It's sort of honestly, kicking the balls.
That's why he doesn't like the media. Yeah. We're supposed to be different.
That's a case study right there.
Yeah.
But
has it changed at all?
I think,
would you do it again differently if you could or not?
No, I don't think so, because with the invent of social media and stuff, it's accelerated anyway, isn't it? It's everywhere now. And we said earlier, like, essentially, if you've got a social media account or whatever platform, you are your own PR journalist, whatever, and whatever you put out
I'm
there.
A model.
I think it definitely had a point of changing around 2005, 2004, 2005, where the questions, they were searching for deeper answers, and they were
searching for headlines rather than
headlines
content.
Rather than content. I remember Andy Robinson, when he was England coach, he was the first one that properly got it, I think.
Yeah.
You know, obviously we weren't playing particularly well, but got asked directly on camera, are you going to resign because the results are that bad? And that never happened in rugby before. We used to have sort of fantastic relation with media for a long time. They'd come out with most of the players. They'd stay in the same hotels. Clive probably created a bit of it, because he sort of drove that wedge between them and sort of limited access. And then when they get limited access, they get really grumpy. And then
I was speaking to a journo, and one of the guys who's, I think he's probably, talking early 90s, late 80s, and they used to like call him up on players on a Sunday afternoon, and they talk about the game. They'd probably give him an inside track, but there would still be that line of respect, and you'd probably get more from the player because you wouldn't be burnt.
Yeah.
Whereas these days, I'm not saying they're all bad, because they're not, but like it's you've got to. Well, they're not, are they? You know,
no, they're not.
They're not. But a lot of them get stung by their headline writers.
Yes. Yeah.
And they actually write quite a balanced piece, but the headline then reads completely unbalanced.
I know. I mean, I'd say someone like Lawrence, for example. I never forget watching him do media days, and I think very much he had those relationships with those journos where he'd sit, you talk, they'd call him up, they'd have that relationship, mm-hmm. and I always saw it as a necessary evil from another perspective. As I was always like, look, it was part and parcel. If you want to have a career outside of sport, you need to play the game. And I'm not saying you don't, but actually your rugby has always done the talking, which is quite unique. And there's only certain players in a generation that actually don't need it.
But that's my point. But it goes back to when I was always focused just the rugby, then like I am quite literal in the fact that when I eventually retire, you know, all my options are on then. You mean, because I don't have to focus on the performance side of things or what you say or what you don't say. Yeah. It's like if, you know, I'd keep them open then. You know, yeah. If there was an opportunity, I'd look at it, whether they do it or not is another thing.
Do you want to join Good Bad Rugby as our Welsh correspondent?
I don't know. I haven't got the banter. I can't keep up with you three. You lot haven't had a lot of sleep and I need my sleep. So.
That it could be a problem.
Yeah.
But no, I think, again, it's not a self-preservation thing, but it's like, right, focus on that and move on to the next.
I think as well, they aren't all bad. I think it is trying to like give and take. But again, you talked about those England coaches. Someone like Stuart Lancaster, I think, made a concerted effort to really build and bond with the journos and actually let them in behind closed doors and explain what they were trying to do. But ultimately, they still burn you because that is their job. It's sensationalised stuff.
The disappointing thing is I think fans want actual intel.
Yeah.
And the game needs it as well.
It's but they're not giving them intel because they're not often always in the inside.
It depends on
of
who, yeah. But I think the game needs it in the fact of, you know, there's a lot of things. You communicate through what you write, don't you? Yeah. You know, whether you're educating people on the game or, you know, individual players rather than just the chaff and the tabloidy stuff, you know. But you know, that's just my opinion.
I think there's a really interesting thing as well, which is actually, and I've never really thought about this until now, but actually those players who do stand back from the media and you don't hear a lot from, I think their mystique is often greater. And I'd put you in that category. McCaw, another one, doesn't do social really, doesn't do any sort of mainstream media that often. And I think that grows a legend because you know less about them. If you're totally available 24/7 and we know every time you go to the bathroom and what you have for breakfast, lunch and dinner, I think it kills a bit of the legend sometimes. Honestly, wow. I'm not talking about you personally, but what makes it quite interesting off the back of that is that in some ways you've kind of, I mean, I'm thinking of Alan Wynne Jones as watching you, you know, the kind of, do you know what I mean by that? With the raised eyebrow and you became like a sort of, I can't remember what the actual incident was, but am I talking out of my back?
No,
do you know what I'm talking
right,
about?
Yeah, but that's the thing. I think the funny thing
is... Do you mind
is,
that though? Do you find that like...
I think it's funny. People, it does that on purpose. If like, I don't consciously do that. Because that's what... I'm not that clued up.
Yeah.
And I still do bits on Instagram or off Twitter. I just think it's it's too easy to get caught up in the BS. But no, I still do bits and bobs, but I'm just not, you know...
Would you ever be one of those, and I'm thinking of a classic Mike Atherton who hated the media as a player and has become a brilliant analyst pundit off the back of it. Would you ever be tempted into...
Oh yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. My options would be open. I don't necessarily hate them. I'm just...
Yeah, but are you...
Because
yeah.
The thing is, I think the disappointment comes when you know people and, you know, job might change or they get a new role and then the change happens and you're like, well, I've always been me.
Yeah.
But then you see people when they get into a different guise or different role and they become a little bit more bitey in what they write and stuff. And you're like, come on. You went like this 18 months, 2 years ago when you didn't ascend, shall we say.
It's like old players as well, retired players, who are always like, oh, I hate this. I hate people scrutinising you. And then 5 minutes later, they're throwing everyone under the bus. Yeah. You're like, and actually, talked about it really, really well, that I think sometimes we can talk about stuff in a positive way and be objective without being overly negative. Mm. And I think actually one of the things that rugby would really benefit from is when you talk about games, you talk about the positives, you purposely, don't need to always talk about the negatives.
I don't think there's anything wrong with criticism or critique. Sometimes it's the delivery, I think.
Yes.
When you spill into personal stuff, then, and it's picked up and carried on whatever platform, then it's like somebody's just, you know, set the fuse and you're like, oh, it wasn't me.
Yeah.
And that's a little bit different then.
Is this the first time in your kind of life, because I know, again, you've been so rugby-centric and so focused, I'm sure you are now, where you've had now an eye to what you might do when you've finished.
Yes and no, because like when I was younger, my mum's side, both grandparents were teachers, my mum was a teacher, so it was always education, education, education. So like when I got my scholarship to go to Llandovery College, my gran was like, well, rugby's not going to do anything for you. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, but you know, we'll let you go because you'll get a good education. And like, when I went, I think I did a I think it was a 21s World Cup. I went early in Scotland. I did my A-levels up there. When I came back after the Lions, I did my finals in 2010 for my law degree. So I always had one eye on. Like, if I'm honest, I think I've always thought about when I'm going to finish. That's why I keep going, if that makes sense.
So yeah.
You've got law degree?
Yeah. Yeah.
Just go through the qualification. Because it adds to the thing where you're like, when you think about all the, like the caps, the performances, the wins.
Essentially, it's just a piece of paper, right? So no, don't get excited.
I had no idea. I'm not mugging you off to get you to tell it. I just didn't know.
But you are mugging me off.
No, because Hask has so many legal cases in his life. Any free advice that you get, he's
keeping. You feel very inadequate because you do anyway when you look at your career and you look at what you've done and what you've achieved, and they've just thrown out the fucking blue that you've now got law degree.
Yeah, but I did a long time ago now, mind. So it's like, I know, but this is the thing. It was always like, you know, be ready for when it ends.
Yeah.
And so I did that pretty early on.
Okay.
You know, still probably I'd like to have done more career stuff, but it's like, oh shit, I got to go back to the focus of the game. Yeah. You know what I mean?
And then you invested in your cryo chamber and you freeze yourself every night and you haven't aged at all.
Yeah.
No, it's the hyperbaric it is.
do you rate that?
Mate, it's brilliant. Brilliant. I know before we get into it, I know a lot of people do it because then they say it's for the head stuff, but I did it merely for my, MCL first time when I strained that. But then from the shoulder and wound closing, I found it
really unbelievable. Have you looked at that red light therapy and all that other kind of stuff?
Not the red light stuff, but I've done, I've got, you know, hot and cold in the house, all that stuff. A lot of boys have got it now because, like I said, you can invest in yourself and a lot of guys are doing it, but I was like, boom, I think hyperbaric is a lot of mileage in it.
Let's make that. Yeah. If anyone wants to give me a hyperbaric chamber, I could do one.
Hashtag ad.
It was another way of Jack Noel hiding though, didn't he? Go and watch a movie whilst in the hyperbaric thing.
Yeah. I think there's probably only one man I know that's rival you in terms of that fresher, Johnny May. Because he's hyperbaric, ice, the Normatec. Game ready, red light therapy, and he's on a constant cycle. He's continuously on a stop clock during his whole life, and he calls it the rotation. Mm. He's always on a rotation for it, but that's why he's still.
That's why I always trained with Johnny. So when we talked earlier about people telling me I was old all the time, so I always trained with Johnny because he was on that clock constantly through weights, then into stretching, then 20 minutes of this, and it was all done on his timer.
But that's the funny thing, you know, like you automatically go like down here, it's like, oh, we're benching then, or it's never like, oh, okay, brilliant, or oh, how'd you train? It's never like, how hard do you recover?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like people always forget that side of it. Well, the harder you recover, the harder you can train, you know, and that's the psyche.
I missed that convo before. So we were talking about obviously the age thing, because I always did, you know, I had very much the kind of similar approach in terms of spending money on myself. So physio, you know, even speed coach, even though it doesn't look like I ever did, you know, every facet of what my game, you know, recovery, massage, ice, I had it all, did it all.
Not a lot of passing, not a catching coach.
But one of the things was a psychologist actually in the last few years of my career, one of the thing was that just seeped into my psyche was the age thing. Mm. And obviously you guys must be talking about it. I'm quite intrigued by whether...
Why were we talking about it? Trying to say something.
But what? How are you coping with that? Because obviously you've got so much... Well, from what I can see, you've got so much rugby to play, but obviously people try to...
Yeah, I'd like to think so. I think, you know, it's funny. It's like when the young guys come in, it's not... I look at young guys and I'm like, well, actually, what am I going to learn off him as well? I don't think... And I don't mean that will... You're who you are, you've done this, you're that. Well, actually, someone young, fresh, coming in, running around, I'm happy to chase them around the park or let them chase me around the park. You know, if I'm doing a fitness session with an 18-year-old and I'm overtaken, was that my fault? You know what I mean? It's like we were talking about it that, oh, you know, that number now, finish now. I always do it like a plumber. You know, if you're a plumber and you get to 36, go retire now. You've done too many bathrooms now, but you know what I mean?
But it's also the same contracts. Clubs go, are you getting old? So... Yeah. Am I playing every week? Yeah, but you know, we don't know how long that's going to last.
An age thing.
Well, hang on. Don't judge me on that. Judge me on what appears on the field rather than what the net.
Yeah, but I do think that's on the outside. I think from a personal point of view, like it's like I'm good at overthinking stuff as well. I think irrelevant of what you do, whether it's sport, business, there's always going to be someone that tells you what you can't do. And that's the hardest thing these days. Again, talk about social media and letting it seep in. Mm. It's the slow... It's the dripping tap, isn't it? Yeah. It's worse than the...
Did anything creep in when you said, for example, did you? Because, as I said, you're bulletproof. When you do your shoulder and you have that setback, and obviously, look, biologically, even if you're a super professional, time does take its toll a little bit. Yeah. Was there any moment when you thought, oh, God, I am actually feeling all the, years?
I think the disappointing thing was the fact of, because we'd had lockdown, and you know, a lot of us had trained quite a bit through lockdown, got probably in really good nick because we were like, oh, it's going to
tell me about it.
Well, no, it was like initially, right, we got a 6-week plan, boys, and we'll be back to normal. You know, 6 months later, we're like, oh, longest preseason in history. Yeah. But and then obviously played that game and it went. I was just like, so of all the times for it to go, you know, first 7 minutes and, you know, supposed to be captain of the Lions on the tour, and I'm like, you know, within 24 hours of back on my sofa, it's like,
wow.
It's one of those things. It all happens for a reason. And that's when the support of my family and stuff came in. But yeah, I think, but that's the thing. I've always had the one eye on the end, because I've always made sure I've done my bits, my, you know, from the very start of the degree and all that sort of stuff. But yeah, I got back to it, and it's like little levels, isn't it? I got back out to on the tour and I was like, oh, happy days, dodged another bullet. Lo and behold, bang, straight back in then. And 4 months later, I was...
Do you think if you sorted your lid, all those questions would, you know, if you...
Do you know what? I'm happy with the way it is. You know, I've attempted taking it off a couple of times, but I can't listen to the people on Instagram. Like, you know what I mean?
Dills Hartley's, he's
just had it sent back in.
He's had it plumbed back in. I mean, I'm not far, because I get the same thing. Unwarranted, go, they shave it off, make time to shave it off.
Yeah, so I
don't do it purposely because of that.
Yeah.
And I said, and my missus said that she, you know, she's not that bothered about it. But trust me, she leaves me, I'm coming up with a ponytail, a fucking top knot.
That's the thing. But he'd be, it's funny, like, you get all the stick, people will be blown away, the number of people that had it. It's mental.
Yes.
It's awesome.
Have you thought about it? Because, would that be something?
Yeah. Why not?
I would. Listen, honestly, I basically, Dylan Hartley's like my canary down the mine. If he comes back looking Meg,
The funny thing is, shave it off. Oh, why have you done that? It's like,
you could be like Hoggy next time you score and you jump.
Yeah, he's had the teeth done and everything.
Yeah, he's fully
been. You've said a couple of times when people talk about me, ..
Yeah.
Which is interesting. Is that quite a big motivator for you?
I think I never like to prove people wrong. I just don't want to prove them right.
Okay.
It's almost like a more positive way of proving people wrong.
Yeah.
Rather than, don't get me wrong, that flips either way at certain times. But, you know, again, it's probably a bit of the goldfish bowl and doing what I've done for so long. And because we were talking again of the age thing, it's almost like you get into, you know, 3 is the first number and then it's like, oh, see you later. Yeah. So I've had it for 6 years now, you know. Go into a shop and like, oh, what are you doing now then? I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah,
just looking after the kids, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's like, okay, I'm going to stay.
So what are the big, I mean, your levels of motivation are extraordinary. And I'm interested as to how you keep replenishing them, how you still have that drive.
It's pretty simple. I love the game. Don't get me wrong. And that's probably at times where I get so frustrated, being so close to certain things. You know, still things I haven't achieved, want to achieve. Will I achieve them?
What's on the list?
The obvious, but I won't say them because the viewers are like, no chance. So I let them work it out. I think, again, having so much mileage on the clock, and again talking about it earlier, every 2 years I've been in a World Cup or a Lions cycle.
Yeah,
you know, it's almost like people say about motivation. I'm motivated to play. Do get frustrated at certain times because of nowhere I can be and where I'm not or where games go. But also, it is cliched, but I've been living it as well. So it's what I'm used to. Do you mean it's not like I'm up there then I'm down? I'm like literally. If you keep grafting, then you're staying to the cycles of those World Cup Lions years.
Yeah.
And ultimately enjoy it. Like, I do love the game. That's sound and and sounds a bit cliche.
Are you a proper Norse? Would you watch it if it was on the weekend?
I watch less. I definitely watch less.
Okay.
I think it's been better for me watching less because, I caught up with a few games yesterday, missed the Leinster Toulouse one, but like, my analysis is probably better from watching less outside, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you just get consumed by it, you know.
Your career is the biggest and best in the game, as it were, in terms of, you know, the longevity, the caps, you know, the success that you've had. There's a lot to come, but are you proud of what you've done? Are you someone who has enjoyed the ride as you've gone along, or are you just next week?
Before I answer that, I think I'm very aware though as well, at any time someone could like pull a rug or could get injured, and that could be and I think that's stark realization. I think when I see so many guys, some guys that have come into the game after me and left before,
Yeah.
And when I'm like, it's just, it's a bit that makes you sit up and think. I'm very proud of what I've done to date. have I enjoyed it enough at times? Probably not. I think that's an age thing as well.
Yeah.
But I think we're all guilty of that, of certain things. You just fall into the trap then again, like I say, the routine and the habit of it, but it's not necessarily a bad habit because I don't really regret what I've done, you know?
When you look at your career now and the bits you're proud of, which are the bits that really stand out? And I don't know whether it's shirts on the wall or memories off the field. Do you buy into any of that?
No.
Where have you put 163 Matt shirts?
Oh, put it so the wife isn't happy because the attic isn't...
it's wallpaper.
Exactly.
No, it's like... Do you know what it is, though? I like going to rugby club. I like... most rugby clubs are different, aren't they? But I wouldn't want to live in one. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
But they're all there. I saw you did a kit clear out the other day as well.
It was actually quite emotional, weirdly.
Because I'd
swap shirts with people, but I'd kept a match shirt from every kind of game, and then I'd kept a lot of kit from teams. And the idea was I was going to have a testimonial, which I never got, and then I was going to do stuff, and I basically emptied out. It was so much of it. And I was going through and like just memories, picking up a swap shirt with like picking up a Welsh shirt, remembering that game. I found the centenary shirts. Do you remember the England ones? Yeah. Just all these kind of stuff in the program.
Was that when you tackled the post?
No, that was actually
stop
another
the
game.
Yeah, stop the clock. We're in Wales.
That was another game.
Almost had a great try and you got side.
I wasn't going to go into details, but I scored twice and I played a really good game. I got man of the match. But anyway, I don't want to go on about it. And it was a legendary centenary game that we're never going to get back, but I, did really well. I had all that merch, and actually it was so kind of bizarre because I was going through this emotional thing and I given some away that's going to be sold, money goes to charity, etc. And I sat there and there was just this moment I was doing on my own going, wow, that's my whole life, all that memories, and now it's gone and now I've got to start another chapter. Mm. And it wasn't, well, my wife was like, you shouldn't be sad because it's gone. You should be smart because it's happened. And I was like, I do, but it's so weird to watch it in a manifestation because normally you have memories, but when you see actual milestones, it was pretty weird. I think when you come to do it, because at some point
I've had to be honest, having bits and bobs. So I've given some to local charity, given some to like the Osprey Supporters Club, and they've, raffled it off in bits and bobs. But it's funny, you look back through some and some of it's so old, it's actually quite cool now, because it's class, it is.
Would
classic.
You ever wear, because one of the best things about when you're a young rugby player and you get that sort of, under 18s kit or whatever, and you go, this is amazing. And then it suddenly dawns on you that you can't wear it because it's the most uncool thing.
You've got your England bag. We're on tour and you're using your England bag.
Just in case people don't know.
If it's old enough, you can get away with it.
They're really sturdy as well. But I was going through the kit and actually went, do you know what? I loved that top. There's like an old England night one with a zip down V down the side that was really cool. Yeah. It's a pair of training shorts. I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to wear it. And I went training it. But the problem is I'm a bit of a bigger gentleman now. So I put on a Stad pink top and I was like, wow, this doesn't fit.
Like
put the shorts on. Chloe went, you cannot wear that. It looks like you're going off to Pride. I was like, I'm sorry. So I have to be very kind of careful now what I put on because I'm a bigger gentleman.
No, but it is. It's like reading a book, isn't it? You're just flicking through. It is mad. But the mad thing is like, say I did it a couple of years ago and then you do it again. It's like, where's all? I thought I chucked it all. But what it is, you just get more. You know what I mean? And it's like when you're a kid, oh, stash. And then when you grow up and you're getting it like twice a year for 10 years, you're like, oh,
I still did get that excitement though. I still when you get a fresh bag, go in and see what they got. It all depends what the sponsor was, because like some of the kids were just like, oh, I'd probably just keep that actually.
It's funny, you go back to local clubs now and they are still, it's all about the stash, whereas when you've been in our position where, but it did only used to start off with like one bag, then towards the end it was like you get four holdalls. You're like,
would you wear it? Would you wear any of it now? Not obviously out on the piss.
I'd love to see Alan from Wales just trotting around in a Wales tracksuit.
No, I think my wife uses some of the big jackets for walking the dog and stuff, but no, probably not. Like I say, it depends on all it is.
But at some point when you retire, just putting on just a little pair of Welsh shorts, just for a little memory, I would say it now, you're going to catch me doing it, because I'm like, otherwise you're never going to ever wear it again.
Yeah.
I bloody earned it, so I will wear it.
but just in terms of the sort of highest points of your career, I mean, that Galacticos team with the Ospreys was a remarkable side. I mean, would that be the highlight? That's a while ago. Was that the highlight? Are there other achievements winning the Celtic League?
Yeah, I think coming, obviously, we find ourselves in a almost repeating cycle of trying to get back into Europe because of, you know, struggling in the league, or, you know, losing so many guys at international windows, and then we, you know, have to do it again. You know, we've got at the working it backwards, we've got like a clutch of local guys now from the region that are really standing up. So hopefully we, you know, get back into Europe and we can make a proper fist of it. But going back to
those
days and how close we came in San Sebastian,
yeah,
you know, it's just like the squad we had back then, and you're not talking like 15, you're talking like squad, it's just one that got away, like, you know.
I was just, do you think there is a missing piece in Welsh rugby at the moment? Because we were at Aberdare the other day, and there were 400 people watching
under 16s game.
There were probably 200 to 300 watching the first team in a local derby that they were playing, what Cowbridge they were playing. And we saw there were some talented players, especially in those Colts team. And, you know, all we're hearing is that we're losing a lot of those players. Because they always talk about local rivalries playing the next door town. And
I think with, again, it's dangerous, isn't it? I think at a professional level, when you're funneling those players into four clubs, you obviously get the cream. But I think the further down the pathway you go, you can obviously have academies and then you lose out. I think that's the biggest job is, you know, I'm not going to soapbox it. I probably don't know enough about it to give you a lot of detail. But you do hear of young youngsters that are like missed out, and like, they might skip a few years and come back, and you think, well, why weren't they there from the start? And I do think the appetite's there because, you know, I've been, like, we're talking about testimonial games, you see that it'll be full because, you know, they want to obviously support players, but they actually want to go and watch some rugby. I don't think the to and fro and about whether we're going to have three or four regions and all those sort of political and...
Do you read any of that anymore, or do you just...
Well, I think we have to. I think as players, yes, essentially, it's about job security then, which is probably as big, if not bigger, than sport. You know, we had it in 2019, 3 days before we played Scotland.
That's right.
Penultimate game of the
Grand Slam. What happened? You were told...
Well, we were told there was going to be a merger between two of the regions on the Monday. So I had another meeting then on the Tuesday. We were back into camp on the Thursday, travelled to Scotland and played. You know, got the win. But it was a tough time because, you know, obviously as international players, you know, you're going to probably be, you know, looked after. But there was a lot of players. You're talking another 200, 180 players plus that were like, what's happening here now?
Yeah.
Because obviously if there was a merger, then there was going to be a lot of movement. But again, you know, they saw sense. And this recent one now about talking to go to three regions, it reeks of a sorting out a balance sheet rather than, you know, improving the game. I think, again, if they got rid of one, those three teams would probably only have the same amount of money. Those three teams wouldn't have the extra funding from the fourth that's gone, you know. So, but definitely the appetite's there. I just think, you know, the fans need more from a performance point of view, but off the field as well.
But yeah. Being there from the start of professionalism, when I was playing and travelling over the bridge on a Wednesday night to play Ebervale or, you know, Caerphilly or all these boys, or heading down to St Helens to play Swansea and taking on the Moriartys and Gibbsy and all those. What the Welsh feed off is those tribal. They are very tribal, and I think the only downside of what the regions bring is you sort of lose Swansea versus Neath. You've lost those real battles that people wanted to see. And, you know, we talk about Hugh Bennett saying about that testimonial, the Knoll.
James Hook's testimonial at the Knoll, which was a sellout, wasn't it?
It hasn't been yet. Paul James had one.
Sorry,
Hookies will be the same probably.
Yeah. And they were packed. So there's people who want to see there. So that's got to filter up to go, well, how are we engaging these people? Why aren't we getting...
I think it has changed. Those rivalries are still there, but I think... If purely from a financial point of view, if you had 10 clubs now that were in Welsh clubs that are in Europe, where are you going to get the 30 million, you know, in the South Wales to fund it to actually compete?
You could probably lend them a bit of cash.
just in the West.
I was thinking you've been quiet for a while.
He's back in the game.
But it's you know, it's...
He doesn't want to take it all out of his pool. No, yeah. So he swims in it every day.
Probably got that in the ashtray of the car. Haven't you?
But purely from a, you know, from a financial point of view, it's hard. But I think the Premiership clubs now, you know, and people are probably saying, speaking out of turn, are probably more important than ever now because they're the siphon or the funnel to get those future internationals and future regional players, you know, in professional game.
Have you got any interest in putting on a blazer when the time comes? I mean, obviously Ryan Jones did a bit, didn't he, with the WRU and the Corridors of Power?
Oh, I don't know. I think with all these things, I think, you know, being players, when you speak to people in the boxes, if they're listening, then you're willing to put the effort in. But there comes a point where your energy might be suited somewhere else.
Right. That's a fairly damning indictment without saying it.
No, I don't mean it, because they got bigger fish to fry. But I think, you know, if you're not going to move into that sort of role, if you can't affect change.
But yeah. I actually don't think they have got. We've talked about it a lot on the show, and again, we're not going into detail about it. I actually think a lot of decisions are made, and you turn around and talk to people, going, "Were you involved in that conversation? Did they talk to any current players?" Like, no. And you're like, "Well, you're making decisions on the game based on your old experiences,
and the fact that you've never played professionally."
Yeah, and we find it very hard, because
that's the vagaries of certain conversations like that. Well, sometimes you can have a conversation, you could mean the business of rugby, and some people would mean the actual business of running the business, which, you know, I would know about, but I could suggest something on the rugby side of things to make, you know, a certain environment potentially better or more efficient.
I think you find you would know much more about kind of that, because when you dabble in those corporate environments, I end up doing a lot of talking at corporate places, and sometimes you suggest I'm available, but sometimes you suggest some of the habits. So I've always been incredibly impressed with you as a leader, because of the way
the example we were talking in the car.
Well, I was always blown away by the time when England played Wales at Twickenham. And we won't go into these, but somebody, you know, from your side got up and did a speech and basically said...
A blazer from higher up.
Yeah, said that they let the team down. It was a bit of an embarrassment. And you walked straight up, and I was coming over to talk to you. You got up straight away and you said, "Don't ever speak about a team like that. Everyone has tried their 100%. Yes, the result didn't get what we wanted, but they were, you know, you cannot say that." And I was like blown away, because I find always in rugby, it's about a teacher-pupil relationship, very much a pupil, never able to speak up. And I was like, fucking hell, I love that. I mean, you'd want a leader to be able to speak up and say that.
In credit to him, I think he was as disappointed as we were. Obviously, I think he'd been at a few more than we had. But and credit to him as a man, he actually came to us and met us in person and, you know, put it right and apologised and stuff. But it's... You know, it is what it is sometimes. And that sort of approach has got me in trouble at times as well. And it doesn't happen too often, but I think sometimes, you know, if something needs to be said,
but you want that. From, I think, it's the same way Eddie Jones gets courts controversy, but he deals it in a certain thing. I want a leader and someone in my team that's going to go, "Look, this is how it is, and this is what you do." And I think in those more complicated corporate conversations, a lot of the behaviours that we take for granted, honest and open feedback, direct conversation, accountability. In a modern world, in a modern work environment, they don't have that, because you turn around and say, "Oh, do you do this? Do you do these disciplines?" And they say no. So maybe you probably know more than you think.
Well, CEO. I don't know. No. Concentrate the egg for a bit.
I love that. Wait, cliche number three.
Excellent. I'm conscious we're getting into the detail. I want to celebrate some of the mega moments of your career. Do you stop to do that at all? I mean, if I was to say to you now, you could pick 2 or 3 games to play again because they were the days that you will remember forever, or maybe because you want to overturn a result.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Are you someone
who's got too many of them?
Are you someone though, when you get that offer, you've got an itch to scratch, or are you someone who would love to do 30-3 or whatever it might be, or Six Nations triumph or whatever it is, or
famous
days?
I think a couple of missing out on a couple of semi-finals.
Yeah,
those are the ones you remember more, because, you know,
in all that glory, you go to the
yeah, but it's,
that tells you a lot about the
world. Of course it does.
If you just focus on every time you've won, I'd always go to losses because they hurt more. Yeah. Do you know, they scar you harder.
I talk about age and performance. I saw a podcast with Tom Brady,
okay,
and he was going on about winning and that mentality, and you know, it's funny the similes. Like in regards to the mentality, and like when you win, it's not easier, it gets harder to keep winning, you know, and that's the thing. And like, that's why I go back to the losses, particularly in the World Cup semi-finals. It's just, you know, that's what I, you know, grew up watching.
Yeah.
Martin Johnson lifting it. It's like, that's when you arrive, isn't it?
And how do you get over something like that? What do you like after a day where you've come so close? And Do you take a long time? Are you quite able to compartmentalize?
Yeah, you don't let those go, I don't think. I think it's funny. It's not like, and I don't mean this derogatory to anyone who's got a 9-to-5, but it's not like you go in and you'll have repeat the day. It's like there's so much that goes into that. It could be, you know, for some people, it could be the only World Cup they go to, the only semi-final they get to. So to miss out, just like, you know, and it's not a dour motive thing. It's a energy. I want to do it again. You know, I want another crack. It's not, you know, feeling sorry for yourself.
I wondered off the back of that, how do you switch off? Because whenever you speak, and even through just chatting to you now, there's like an intensity. There's like obviously a real passion for what you do, and there's a real determination. And you can see your mind working, even when you talked about kind of rewriting those semi-finals. How do you relax? Are you like a bear with a sore head at home? Is the missus like, please, Alan?
I'd say no. The missus would say yeah. I think obviously, you know, people keep going on milestones I've had. Like I got the appearance record, we lost to Scotland in Park of Scarlets, and the missus had like a cake, bottle of champagne and all that. I was like, yeah, we'll do that tomorrow. So that didn't go that well.
Start on that, isn't there? You lost your first game, yeah. Cap.
Yeah.
You lost your 50th cap.
Yeah.
You lost your 100th cap.
Yeah.
You lost when you broke the record.
Yeah.
And you lost your 150th cap.
So you're going to have to get into 200 and 250.
We add that to the semi-finals as well. Yeah. So, no, but, you know, it's like, yeah, you thought, it's like anything. It's not just a bad day in the office, is it really? Yeah.
Do you wear? Because I was sometimes, for a long time, it's something I had to work on, being kind of almost inconsolable. Like I would only ever think about negatives. Even if I got a man of match performance, I would always think about that. I would take it home and I'd sit there and I wouldn't know how to handle it. I wouldn't be able to process that emotion. And as I got older in my career, working with a psychologist, I was able to turn that around. So I might have a couple of hours being down. But I imagine with you, A, because of being in the fishbowl, B, being the role you have, how do you switch off? Do you have to have a minute?
I think it's got a lot easier. I still you know, carry that, you know, performance element of things with me. I think if I didn't, then I'd know it'd be time to walk away. But the kids are a great leveler. Rex, dog, therapy dog.
Just completely bald.
He's got the reverse mobile. He's been good addition to the family, and you know, I've got on a bike a few times, you know, when I can.
Does the missus ever come in and go, oh, for fuck's sake, pull yourself together?
Yeah, that's what I need as well. You know what I mean? I think, you know, she's the better half of us. So,
do you have any like hobbies where you completely like switch off? Yeah. You into like series or?
No, motorbike would be the one, because you go out on that and you have to concentrate, you know? Yeah. So I don't go too far. I don't go.
What were you riding?
I've got a Triumph 1200 XE. Oh, so nice. I've had a bit of work to do. So my pride and joy. So. When I can, I'll get it on that, and it's just nice to switch off.
Just trying to get these two through their life.
We're doing our moped license together.
Oh, good.
I'm in the sidecar.
Honda are going to teach us around the track, really? Knee down. Yeah.
Really? Knee down? You're too big for that.
I'm knee down. I'm just going to sit quietly and poodle along. I'm a bit nervous about
it's
that.
It's like I use it just to switch off. I just whip around the Gower or whatever. I haven't gone too far.
Just whip around the estates for just a couple of hours.
Takes 2 hours.
Yeah.
Just the bottom of the garden.
Wrong person, wrong
person. No one. Don't lower yourself.
Can't beat him. Stab him in the back.
No, but it's like proper. That's my proper chill. Yeah. It's awesome.
I know some of the boys when we were on the lines, kind of into their coffees as well. That's your passion.
I do the odd coffee, but I think that would be that was like I've got. In fairness, I've got quite a few options to use, but that's the main one.
When you go to have coffee, you don't switch off from rugby, because all you do is sappuccino what you're doing. No. Whereas on the bike, you just fully concentrate on what you're doing.
Yeah, it's brilliant. It is good.
Do you find, obviously, because you know, being the captain and the responsibility, that it's, you keep the balance right between having a sap with the lads, and do you purposely try to like manage how you are? Because I know some guys would be front and centre, and as soon as you give them a bit of responsibility, they're suddenly like, I really want to be down on the coalface slagging everything off.
I've never been like the extrovert anyway, but like I think sometimes people need that. I don't think it's a bad thing. It's quite entertaining. There's always there's always room for that. I do think that you know, it's like you and your binge juice stuff, isn't it? It's tongue in cheek as well. Yeah. I think, and the other one is, I think what I've learned is, as you get a bit older, if you've got a real issue and it has, you know, if it's toxic, well, there's the door. Go and you know, man up about it and walk through the door and make your point. And you know, I'm not averse to saying that.
The best thing about the binge juice thing is, on the Lions tour, people were actively quite happy not to get selected so they could go out with us in the WhatsApp group
to come through.
Halfway through the meeting, boom, you're back in the WhatsApp group. Right, that's where we're going. It's obviously like that when we cruiser, we had to pick cruiser up Peter Romani from the Heights of like Lions captain to come on board, chief, nestle in here, cruiser, pick that bottom lip up. Come on,
you spent half your time dressed as Scooby-Doo, didn't you?
yeah, I did. And what they tried to say, they said they couldn't get Billy, so they just got me a Billy goat. Remember that costume? Yeah. Like, mate, honestly, tough I was choice. Just the court jester.
I love it. You've mentioned your missus a few times, who is a great woman. Met her, obviously, at your testimonial. Yeah. Am I right in thinking that she possibly gives you the hardest time of anybody in terms of Alan of Wales being brought back down to put the bins out and do the washing up?
She absolutely loved the Alan of Wales. I was Alan of Wales for about 2 months at home, walking into the kitchen. Alan of Wales!
Haskell, to hear you. Yeah.
Will you stop? Stop it, please. Yeah. No, but she was...
Whenever you hear it now,
She enjoyed that, but I'm fortunate because she's got a athletic background in the fact that she understands sport as well. So when I say she doesn't give me a hard time, she understands, and that's regards to the psychology of stuff. And like you could not be doing this, so why are you complaining? You know, when it goes bad and when it goes well, it's like no, he understands the whole like performance mentality. But like it's sometimes it's like stop, check, and.
Is she looking forward to the next chapter and having a bit more of your time, or is she terrified about what Alan of Wales without sort of an outlet is going to be able to do?
I think you'd have to ask her. She'd come down, you know, it wouldn't take 10 minutes, but no. I don't know. I think it's a good question. I think the funny thing, I think my father-in-law put it quite aptly, is like, when you do finish, you can get on with your life then.
Yeah.
You know, in a weird way, I'm like, is that the case? I won't know until... You know,
until
the time comes, and like I say, it could be to the end of my contract, or it could be before that.
Yeah.
But you know, I'm going to do everything I can to get to the end of it.
It's very hard to get you to talk about some of the success, so I'm going to have a third run up at it. The media handbook.
We balanced it out.
So very unfortunately, your garage with all your stuff is on fire, and you have one opportunity to grab one shirt because it means something to you.
I'll have to be my either. Well, can I grab two?
You can grab as many as you like, actually.
I'll probably have to be like my first Ospreys and first Welsh.
Really?
Yeah. Just because it's the start, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And do you remember what you were like at 10? I mean, was it always a kind of... Because actually, you were a footballer growing up, weren't you? Were you much more of a footballer?
Yeah, I was one of them that like started like up front and then slowly went back and back. And then as it went on, the jersey got smaller and smaller and I just got bigger and bigger. And it's like flipping heck. It's like the Honey Monsters in goal at the back. Like,
love it.
It was like... But and I sort of soon realised that I couldn't slow down. I wasn't particularly agile. I thought rugby.
Rugby it is. So do you remember at 10 who your heroes were? What was the era that you grew up watching?
Oh, it would be Johnny Eels, Martin Johnson, those two. I think probably wasn't around that time, but I think it was Martin Johnson with the Leicester team of old and, you know, that European Cup success they had. Johnny Eels because he was a second row and he kicked goals.
Yeah.
Jimmy, so they're saying there's a chance.
Yeah.
But I think, again, positional because they've, you know, the World Cup.
Have you ever had a chinwag with Jono?
No, I don't think I've met him.
I imagine you two being quite intense in the corner of a bar, like about to go over. No, thanks.
No, go to there.
No, yeah. I think...
discussing binding. Exciting things like that.
No, he's a real stato. Are you into other sports?
He's big into NFL. Isn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah.
He knows all the drafts for the last 20 years.
Are you big into any other sports?
I follow them. I'm not massively into them, you know, but I play too much rugby.
Yeah.
All like the game, yeah.
So, but age 10, 11, 12, was it always a goal to get? I mean, because your career is.
No, I think, in fairness to my parents, I always did loads of sports. Just try everything once, and if you like it, keep going. And then one of the schoolboys went up to Bonham Mines, so they welcomed me with open arms and stayed up there then until I was like 15 and then went to college. But yeah, it was sort of always, rugby was always the one that was at the forefront because it was suited me. It was simple, go, mates, play.
Enjoy.
Yeah.
And who, do you remember the first time you were told or the first person who said, if you knuckle down and concentrate, you've got what it takes?
I do. Well, not that you've got what it takes, because I think it's like when you're a kid, you're like, that's a dream, isn't it? Sort of thing. And I do remember running around the rec here and like at a schools and the 15s coach, and we were doing like some like square running. Every square you go faster, you know, gets faster. It's like, and I remember it. Come on now, keep going, otherwise you won't get Wales under 16s. And this was like, just talking like, was it 17 years ago now? And I remember that. I was like, oh, he thinks I could do that. You know what I mean? It's only a sentence. But you know, you have a few of those as you go along from coaches and spur you on. And you think, well, you know, I might have a crack at this.
Have you got in contact with him and said?
Yeah, I see him.
Oh, really?
I see him every now and then, and David Lloyd, and like.
Does he go, you're welcome?
No, I still call him sir and stuff. Really? Just because it's like, that was
that,
my
yeah.
familiarity, you know? Even, I remember we went once, and it was sort of a really stark lesson early on. I rolled my ankle, sprained my ankle in school, like messing about. And I went, and I can't train today. And I sprained my ankle. He's like, go away then. Come back when you can. And it was brilliant for me. It was like, well, I didn't need to be there because I was injured. And it was like, boom. It was a lesson I learned. And it wasn't as harsh as it sounds, because it was like, well, you know, there's no point being here. Get yourself right and come back. And that's what, you know, it's like.
Are you competitive in everything you do? So
I try
if you're
not necessarily successful, but
right.
I think you've got to be. I think with the missus is as competitive, which is
do you
healthy,
let them win though?
I think. Huh?
Do you ever let any of them win?
Do you let your kids win?
Yeah, because my missus says I have to.
And any pretty easy life.
No, but it's good as well. I don't want them to be like I'm sanitized. I want to be, you know, I want them to be able to fend for themselves. And
so when she's not around, you're like pushing them over going, unlucky.
I play get tennis up. And just serve him flat out. Yeah. Like,
spike the ball.
Ace.
In your face. You're rubbish. You're never going
to
make it.
Not quite that okay. much. Right, but it's like, no, I think it's important to, you know, it means more then as well, doesn't it? To anyone, however you are.
Older yeah. now, like, I think I was listening to something about a sportsman the other day. I can't remember which one it was. He said, no, it was actually... I think it was Andy Farrell and Owen Farrell. They were saying, like, he never,
oh, yeah,
so competitive,
yeah.
never let him win.
No.
Just always make sure. Yeah, but yeah, never let him win.
You were talking about this the other day.
Yeah. I do let Mia win occasionally, but I also make sure she loses a bit because she goes mad because she's uber competitive. But you should never like losing, but you need to be able to handle losing.
Yeah.
And like lying on the floor and rolling around screaming. I know she's an 8-year-old, but that doesn't work.
Yeah. Oh, you don't sit at home with like a PDF of where they went wrong. Like sit down, recover.
PowerPoint.
Really intense.
I'm just going to fire up the sports coat.
Like Barry Chamber for you after that session. No?
Well, a couple of ice baths maybe, but no. It's just, but that's the thing. It's balance, isn't it? It's like, it's too easy to go one way. But they're a great leveler as well. You know what I mean? It's part of the fun.
Well, I'm about to find out.
Mate, you've got it all to come.
I know.
I can't wait to see the tone of your Instagram change.
Yeah.
I cannot wait.
Everyone can't wait.
It's like a social experiment.
It's like you've got the millennium and you've got me having a kid. It's like people are so excited to see what's going to happen.
Did you just...
Yes, I did.
Millennium bug in
yes,
the child. Is
yes,
that what you're trying to say?
Yes. Well, just basically say just seminal moments, basically like, you know, moments in time watching me unwind and unravel.
Do you think you're ready for it?
I would say I'm quite adaptable.
Yeah.
I would say that people's obviously perception of me is not always accurate. I obviously play up to caricature, but I do think I would just get on with it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I want to learn. And
I remember when we were first expecting the boys, like, oh... Hardest thing I do is, oh, whatever. And like my wife will say, like my wife does the lion's share, like Anne's power to Anne's because she does the majority because we're away all the time. But it's way harder than you think.
Yeah. No, I know.
Way
I know
harder
that.
Than
I know,
you
I know
think.
That. And everyone,
is it fair?
Yeah. Everyone says that. Everyone says, oh, that longing look of like, oh, I can't wait for you to have kids. It's going to be tough.
Yeah, it's not, I don't want to see you suffer, but it's like,
it's
the best.
I definitely do.
It's the best, hardest thing you'll ever do.
No,
you know?
I think if you embrace it, one thing I can see, the lesson I've tried to derive from everyone is because I listen, I do talk a lot, but I do sometimes listen, is that that ultimately, if you embrace the fact that it is going to be a change, if you go in and go, this is my ways, and I know I'm not going to change, but if you go, do you know what, I'm going to live for every single moment,
but
I'm going to embrace
it. You're probably busier now than when you were playing.
I am, but I think that your priorities obviously kind of change, and I'm busy because, like water, it will expand to fill a space. If you don't have the time, do you know what I mean? Like,
did you so
profound?
He's now calling himself Aquaman.
Yeah. Bruce Lee, be like water. No, but if you build a shape, you pour water, it will it'll expand. If you manage your diary better, then your times will change. At the moment, I have the freedom to do it, but you throw a little girl in, and my wife, I'm going to have to change and modify, or I'm going to go away until she's 18, and then meet her. At, but yeah. You're shocked a bit.
I am.
A bit more mature like, than you think, isn't it?
Yeah, no, well, you make it sound so easy.
Didn't we all?
I know.
Also, there is also option three as well, just throw money at the situation.
Oh, well.
You know, nannies.
Invest in yourself again.
Invest in yourself. Also, my mental health is more important than both of theirs.
For all of us.
Also, let's always remember, I'm number one priority. She'll be, well, my wife and her will be second, you know? We'll change.
What are your minis into? Because obviously two athletic parents. Are we seeing signs of representing their country?
They go, oh, I don't know, a bit early for the pressure for that, isn't it?
Like, Wales online or something.
I think they're, like most kids, they've got better social lives than us. They're, you know, swimming and gymnastics, tennis, dance, and you know, the youngest is just getting into swimming. So I think it's for us being close to the beaches and all that, swimming's a big one. But yeah, give them a chance to do everything like I did.
So. No child prodigy, though. You haven't looked at it and gone, oh my God, you're going to be.
Oh, no, I think it's dangerous. Like, give her a chance.
Yeah, but you know, sometimes like when my dad watched me play football, he was like, you are never going to be a sports person. Like, you know that pretty early on. Like, you can be kind and polite, yeah, but obviously either they've got a little bit of it or they haven't. Is there like a smidge of going, potential? Is there potential?
It's funny. I think Mally's like, looks athletic. I think the youngest, then she's a bit more arty, you know, outgoing, extrovert. And like I say, I wouldn't want to say or pigeonhole him anything anyway, you know what I mean?
Because if she gets my genetics, my daughter's a professional wrestler or something like that. Do you know what I mean?
What, WWE or?
Anything, really. I don't know.
The thing is that athletic, banter, decent sort of chat.
Well, medium to fair chat. Yeah. He always gave me a compliment. Wales Online.
I had to reel it in.
That's one thing I want to edit out.
I'm going to ask you a question you don't have to answer, but it'd be interesting your view.
If
you
could, ominous.
If you could script the perfect sort of 18 months, 2 years from here, what does it look like?
Oh, I don't.
Do you dare do that?
Yeah, I wouldn't want to. I think you'd. I wouldn't go from here. I'd work it backwards.
So it is one game at a time.
Yeah, yeah. And again, cliche, but it's like, again. But the thing is, it works two ways. You open yourself up to like chit chat. And also, you put pressure on yourself then as well.
Okay.
I think I'm very cautious of that.
So to reverse it back, do you feel, you've obviously got all the nous, et cetera, that you need. Do you feel physically where you want to be and motivated?
Yeah, I think physically where I want to be. I think, again, that whole performance thing, you're always going to critique yourself worse than anyone else. You know, and the funny thing is, I think the only thing worse than people saying you've had a bad game when you've had a decent game is people saying you've had a good game when you've had a shit game.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So I'll go to one day at a time and go like that. But physically I'm good because obviously, you know, I've done all the rehab stuff, probably shoulders better than it was before I did it. And yeah, I'm just want to get my teeth into it.
I wonder if someone in your position, are there still people that you go to give you honest feedback? Because lots of times people will ultimately sometimes say what you want to hear, but with the appetite you have, who would you go to get a good critique on your performance?
I think sometimes, I probably wouldn't necessarily go at someone for it, but like I see a few guys in passing at times and they might pass comment. And the one thing that has come through from a lot of ex-players that I know and spoken to is like, you're a long time retired, you know, and it's like, I wouldn't want to be like sitting on the sofa and think, well, I should still be going. I think, and I'd rather, you know, I think, what did Edelman say? Go till the wheels come off sort of thing. I've got no qualms with that. When I started the game out, I didn't, you know, when you're 10 years old, you don't, oh, right, what legacy am I going to leave?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It was, I wanted to play for Swansea and now I've, you know, done a little bit more than that, but still done that as well. So, you know, I'm very, very conscious as what my initial, you know, focus was and as,
I think you've got the legacy bug ticked.
Yeah,
so yeah, but what I'm saying is, it's like if I could, I'm not going to try and script the next 18 months. You know, you don't do that when you're in the midway of your career. I'm not going to start that now. So,
who are the guys along the way that you have sort of enjoyed the company of the most? Who are the guys who now you still keep in touch with? And
Adam Jones, every now and then.
Yeah,
you know, from a distance. Hugh Bennett, obviously, because he's with Wales.
What a great man! We had such a good day with him. Mate, in Aberdare.
One of the best, like, athletes in the game. No,
he was a machine, wasn't he? Even when I was at school, heard about him, like this guy called Hugh Bennett can do this, they're benching this.
Yeah, and there's quite a few, but you know, obviously ones I can't remember. But,
exactly.
No, I'm like, it's funny because I've been fortunate enough that I've played a few guys that have gone to coaching now as well, so I don't have to go too far from, you know, these guys I played with and they know me quite well. You know, Duncan Jones at the Ospreys as well.
Yeah,
you know, so
old school.
Yeah,
you said earlier that you love to try and learn something from the youngsters. I wonder what someone like Lewis Rees-Zammit has taught you other than TikTok and. Do you find it easy to kind of, because you're not quite a generation above, but you're not far off.
I know. It is like, what do they say? You're almost old enough to be his dad. I probably am old enough to be his dad, but no, I'm.
Are you his dad?
you could probably tell by the lid. I'm not. But no, it's like. It's funny, even if I'm not learning something, I'll say, okay, I'll have a, you know, I'll fit you. And obviously, Zammit's going to be quicker than me, but I'll try and chase him down on a tempo run or something. You know, obviously, I'll be struggling for the next fall, but Yeah. That's the fun of it for me. You know what I mean? That's the motivation. It's like, you know, I've got no qualms in going hard and blowing up. Like it's the guy that goes last and he's like, how if you just run quicker than all the back three? Like, you know what I mean? It's...
Do you feel that with those young guys coming through, when I sort of did some, you know, player coaching with Gloucester, you sort of have to explain this to them a bit more about standards? They've been told a lot how good they are.
Yeah,
and
but
then
again,
step into the game believing that. You know, we may have heard a story about...
But it's a lot harder, I think, because of, you know, the social media side of things. You can't deny it because you've got all these platforms coming at them, telling them they're this, they're that. And it's like, well, you know, I still feel like I'm earning stripes at certain things. And I think, you know, there's a lot of youngsters that probably find it hard to wade through all of that. But on the other hand, they're probably more equipped to deal with the flack they get on social media because they're the social media generation as well.
Yeah.
So it's like two-pronged. It's, you know, they're more equipped in many ways, but it's hard to probably get the siphon right as well.
Have you had to adapt the way you lead and talk to these players now coming in because of the length of time you've been around?
I don't know about adapt. I'd like to think no. I think I've learned, particularly, you know, getting older, having a family and stuff, that they're, you know, someone's son, someone's, you know, brothers, whatever. So I think the balance of an arm around them and, you know, listening is, like you said, is as important as having a big stick as well. Don't get it right all the time, but on me, and that's what you...
Is there any moment where you've sort of given them a bit of tough love and they started crying? You're like, oh my God.
No, nothing like that. But I think, like, when I was a captain of the O's early on, I was like, well, this, and like, actually, you know, when you take a step back, probably a bit harsh early on, but I didn't know, you know, how I was going to lead or whatever. And you sort of, you know, change, I suppose, as you get a bit older, but also with the people around you and time.
Three things I want to ask you before we finish up, which we haven't. Lions means what to you?
Oh, it's funny. I think I'm really conscious I'm a Welshman who represent the Lions because, you know, that's the strongest thing of the Lions, is that identity of the four nations come together as one rather than the British label, if that makes sense. I count myself as a Welsh Lion playing with an English, Irish and Scottish Lion, which is the important thing. So to be part of that is massive. I'm still hugely disappointed after the last year, not just because of the result, but the way it sort of unfolded for me, but still proud to have, you know, been a part of it with those guys. And obviously, you know, the tour itself, which, you know, the game probably needed because of the COVID situation and stuff, you know?
Mm. The line that you, we always ask this of people around Hask, obviously big preconceptions around him, and often he's proven them wrong as a Lion, as he did in 2017. But you've obviously, I mean, you are the greatest professional Lion that there is. The guys that you have become, well, I mean, the stats would speak for themselves.
Stats. It's not a numbers game, gents.
Well, it's not. But you don't go on four tours and play in the way that you have without getting those accolades. But who have you enjoyed the company of along the way that perhaps you weren't necessarily expecting?
Phil Vickery in 2009. You know, he very much like yourself, but I took the mick out of my accent, but much better Welsh impression. So I think he was one of those.
We're hearing on tour a lot of bad accents.
He was taking the mick, but in a way he was looking after it as well, because I was head down grafting. I'd like to think I got a bit of, you know, we look after that one because he's grafting, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Young,
so I'd like
earn
to
the
think,
respect, yeah.
Yeah, well, and I was respectful to the incumbents there as well.
Make me a woodbine boy.
Yeah, one of those.
You know, isn't it, there's new Vickery now, old Vickery, you know, gruff kind of big roll up smoke. Now he's floral shirts on social media post. He goes, "Glad sir, can I post a picture of us?" I was like, "Sorry, do you know what social media is?"
Morning team.
Yeah, morning team. Yeah. How is everybody? Everyone feeling? How's your emotional state? Like, sorry, what have you done with Vickery?
Definitely Vicks. I think Paul O'Connell as well. Yeah. A couple of tours there. Just, you know, he was probably one of the original hybrid second rows, if you think, all rounder. It wasn't just like set a piece, you could do it all. Hoggy, in fairness, for his entertainment. Enjoyed Rory Sutherland the last tour. You know, there's nothing like a prop in speedos in full flight, and he's in decent nick, in fairness, given that one. Courts, I think, haven't played against Courtney Laws for so long. I think particularly the last tour as a captain, you always see who's, you know, going to back you up or, you know, speak when he needs to, and he's, you know, his timing and what he said, you know, when he speaks, people listen.
I love that. the Norses out there will remember there's a tomorrow with the jersey and there's a tomorrow without the jersey. Yeah. Have you still got that jersey?
I have.
Have you?
I have, yeah. I've got quite a few of them.
And in terms of that, as a, you know, it's hard to get you to talk about the highs, but you know, clinching a series in Australia as captain.
Yeah.
Well, with it was only 80 minutes, mind.
But that came off what Faz said in the meeting before, though, because defence is probably one of the more emotive parts of the game, whether you're like bouncing off the walls or you've got the dead eye focus. And it was like, there's no tomorrow. Like, it's actually resonated with me. And I thought, flipping out, actually there is, though, isn't there? Because like you said about the wins and losses, life goes on, the game goes on. And, you know, that was probably off the back of what, you know, Faz said in his defensive meeting rather than me.
Celebrating with Bond afterwards. I mean, you've obviously met some of the greats along the way, but, you know, Bond in the changing room.
Yeah, you know, it's very nice of him to drop some champagne in. Very brief encounter, but cool all the same, isn't it? You know,
yeah, so. Little highs along the way. Second thing, coaching, media, or sort of a la Cadu, if you're going to keep in touch with the game off the back, which would be the most natural path?
I don't know. Well, we've covered almost all three there, haven't we? I think it's funny. I think as playing, you know, you focus on what you do, and when I, you know, when that time comes, it depends if I feel like I've got anything left or unfinished business with the game, if that makes sense. Mm. Or like we said, whether, you know, there's a forum where it could make or affect change, or if people want me to do that, they might not be. I might turn around and say two fingers. Thanks very much. See you later. You know what I mean? But I think I'm very conscious that when that time comes, I don't really want to follow a path, too hard and waste my time or anyone else's. I'm really conscious of that. I know it's going to take time to find my feet and whatever, but hopefully there'll be something out there.
As a driver of standards.
Yeah, incredible. I mean, you know, I think just when you've lived it, but also done it in the way he's done it, that's the best thing. You know, I think some people can fall into success sometimes by environment, but to do it consistently, to do it in the way he's done it, to have the plaudits that people give him is... when I feel like I'm serious, it's like shocking, isn't it? I just think it's outstanding. And there are, you know, in games, we joke about goats, and he'll never admit it, and he'll never do that. But that's what makes him the character he is. But actually, to have that label, and to have earned it, and to keep being so hungry and keep being so inspirational. I've been lucky enough to be on that Lions tour. And again, you know, he was someone that was part of the reason I was going to go to the Osprey, someone that I always played against for Wales. And yeah, he's an inspiration and a good guy. And I'm interested to see when the wheels come off, when the calipers come off with the media, like when he feels like he's able to put the handbook down for one day and actually give you the fact. I'm going to love it.
What time's the exorcism?
Something's gone wrong with the wire.
No, I just think, look, you know, he's an amazing guy and thoroughly deserves it. And I think he's got so much more to give, and I'm excited. And you know, listen, I'd love to see Wales win the World Cup. If it ever gets that, it'd be amazing. It might get so big time.
Is that because you're like 25% Welsh?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I'm Welsh qualified, didn't you?
Yeah, he got picked for Wales 18s and binned it off because he got in England.
I know the story.
Go on.
So I trialled for Wales under 18s at the same time as Wales and England under 18s.
Did both, flip flop, yeah.
And I got selected in the training squad for the game to play against England to go play against Wales. And I called up Wales and I was like, look, my dad's master plan.
That wasn't the game where they put Time to Burn on instead of the English anthem then, was it? It could have been you.
It could have, yeah. And so I made the decision, because there was 2 years at England 18s as opposed to Wales, and I just hedged my bets and that's it. Otherwise, I mean, as everyone always tells me, Welsh fans, I wouldn't have got in the team. I would have won some more Grand Slams if I had, though. So, you know.
So humble.
So humble.
Stay humble, yeah. If you tell people, by the way, if you tell people you're humble enough, people start to believe it, or just stay humble.
Hashtag humble.
It's funny you mentioned the anthems, because that was my third and final question. I think, and I hope you wouldn't mind me saying this, that Lawrence Dallaglio still remains the greatest anthem shot of all time. He could turn on the waterworks and the trembly bottom lip.
Oh, it was only whenever the red light on the camera turned on, though. It was amazing. Before, passive, red light.
But it's no disgrace to say, I think you probably are the second greatest anthem singer that there has been.
I'll take that. It's funny, I think, what did they say before? If I played as well as I sang the anthem, I'd probably have two World Cups for now.
There you go.
But
what do you think of when you stand there?
I don't know. I think it's changed. Like, it's funny, I think you're real emotive when you're younger. I think then you have kids and then you start thinking about all those things. But for me, it's the, I've said before, it's the one time where actually the fans and the players are doing the same thing, you know, for that, whatever, 2.5 minutes. And that's, you know, something really special. And obviously bigger the game, bigger the occasion, that adds a bit more. But
you've done it 160 odd times, but that walk out, particularly a skipper, particularly someone like the Principality, means what to you?
Oh, it's funny. It's like, you know, we talk about dreams as a kid, and you know, it's beyond that. It's pretty hard to describe. I think when you go through like history and you look back, there's not many men that actually have done it in the grand scheme of like 130 odd years of Welsh rugby. So to be able to do that, and you know, the Principality, when they got the tunnel, their doors closed, you come out and like, you're playing some stadiums and there's distance between you and the fans, but they're like, they're on you. I was just fortunate enough that they're with us as well. So
you'll miss it when it's gone, that bit.
Well, that's why I try and make the most of it when, you know, I get the chance.
Quite right too. It's been an absolute privilege. Thank you very, very much for giving your 1 meter interview of the year to us. I can't believe you've done it, but we're truly honoured, and we really, really hope that the next, whatever you want it to be, pans out in whatever way you want it to.
We'll see.
Alan of Wales, good on you. Thank you very much indeed. What an absolute privilege to have a goat on The Good, The Bad and The Rugby this week. We are a Folding Pocket production, and if you haven't joined us on our tour, we remain out and about on the road. Check out goodbadrugby.com if you fancy grabbing some tickets for our last few shows. Otherwise, look after yourselves and we'll see you again soon. Bye for now.
Thank you so much for listening to The Good, The Bad and The Rugby. It can't have been easy.